The first lesson is from Exodus chapter 20, verses 1 through 13. Then God spoke all these words. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an idol, whether in the form of anything that is in heaven above, or that is on the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them or worship them. You shall not make wrongful use of the name of your Lord, the God in vain. For the Lord will not acquit anyone who misuses his name. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, but rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and consecrated it. Honor your father and your mother, so that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder.
Our second lesson this morning comes from Matthew chapter 5, verses 21 through 26. You have heard it was said to those of ancient times, you shall not murder, and whoever murders shall be liable to judgment. But I say to you that if you are angry with a brother or a sister, you will be liable to judgment. And if you insult a brother or a sister, you will be liable to the council. And if you say, you fool, you will be liable to the hell of fire. So when you are offering your gift at the altar, if you remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go. First, be reconciled to your brother or sister, and then come and offer your gift. Come to terms quickly with your accuser while you are on the way to court with him. Or your accuser may hand you over to the judge and the judge to the guard, and you will be thrown into prison. Truly, I tell you, you will never get out until you have paid the last penny. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
So today we continue our series on the Ten Commandments, or the Decalogue, the Ten Words, as our Jewish brothers and sisters know them. Last week, Tammy spoke about the fifth word, honor your father and mother. It's my turn to talk about the sixth word, you shall not murder. Now, you may know that the Ten Commandments differ a little bit between the Jewish, Protestant, and Roman Catholic versions. A lot of it has to do with numbering, and some of it has to do with the actual words of the commandment. And the Roman Catholic version, the version that I learned as a little girl, that's the tersest, has the fewest number of words. But in all of the versions, this command is straightforward. You shall not murder. Eugenia Gamble, in the Presbyterian Women's Curriculum, Love Carved in Stone, A Fresh Look at the Ten Commandments, restates the sixth word as, don't kill each other. Well, that's pretty clear, isn't it? So we can just skip right over this commandment. Like Bill said, I haven't killed anyone, I don't intend to, so the sermon's over. And not so fast. Eugenia Gamble tells us that each of the words of love, as she calls the Ten Commandments, addresses a particular wound or wounds. All the wounds that the six words addresses in her quote is selfishness, hate, and fear, that lash out and seek to destroy God's people and the beloved community. Now, have you noticed that each word of love takes the community into account? It's not just about me and what I do. It's about me and what I do and how it affects my community. Some of us have been reading a book called Intergenerational Christian Ministry. We're looking at how we live together as a beloved community, how we learn together, how we pray together. The authors of the book have noted that we often don't do things in a community that includes folks of all ages. And why is that important? Well, the needs of someone like me in my 70s aren't necessarily the needs of someone, say, in her 20s or 30s. Yet, we have something to learn from each other, wisdom to share, and support and prayers to provide. Last year at this time, about a year ago, I had just come back from the Dominican Republic on a mission trip with our church members, and one of the greatest joys for me was hanging out with high schoolers. You do remember when we could go on mission trips, right? So the high schoolers named me Abuela Fuerte, which means strong grandmother. And when I lamented, I don't even have children, let alone grandchildren, one of the people on the trip said, I'll be your grandson. So Dan is my grandson. What else is important about being in community together? We learn that worship isn't all about me. It isn't my sin that I'm confessing in the corporate prayer of confession. It's the community's sins. It isn't just me for whom I'm praying. It's the faith community, and from that, the world that needs my prayers. Jesus isn't my personal Savior. Jesus came to a community. Our American notions of individualism and the importance of our own personal experiences, according to the authors of the book on intergenerational Christian ministry, they believe that our individualism, quote, is fundamentally incompatible with the life of community as depicted in Scripture. I'd venture to say that our focus on me has made it hard for us to hear how the 10 words really focus on community. And that's how these words would have been heard by the first hearers. Now, notice that this word has no further explanation. Some of the earlier words come with promises or exceptions. Last week when Tammy talked about honor your father and mother, there was a little bit more to that which said, quote, so that your days may be long in the land that the Lord is giving you. There's the promise. Not here. Thou shalt not murder. You shall not murder. Okay, we know we shouldn't murder. The people of ancient Israel didn't go around killing each other either. So why did God say this as he formed the community? Now, in Hebrew, the word that's used is lo tirza. And as Eugenia Gamble implies in her list of the wounds that this commandment addresses, the Hebrew word is much broader than murder. It could also be understood, and I'm quoting here, as don't break, bruise, or crush, which can mean not to break the will of someone or crush his spirit. Don't batter or shatter, which can mean not to assault someone verbally and not to humiliate someone. Close quote. So, the Talmud, which is the collection of writings that basically expands on the Hebrew Bible and provides the foundation for Jewish law and Jewish theology, contains several warnings that humiliating someone or using sneering words is the equivalent of murder. The notes in the Jewish annotated New Testament say that in some cases, name-calling was a legal offense. You could be hauled into court. There are so many ways that we can murder. It's not true that sticks and stones will break my bones and names will never harm me. Ever been called stupid in school or ugly on the playground? Ever had someone say, what an idiotic idea when you made a suggestion? So this isn't just what happens between you and a brother or a sister. This is what happens to the community. And God is about forming us into a community. Jesus, in our reading today from the Gospel of Matthew, says, you have heard, but I say. What Jesus says is even harder than what we have heard. It was very common for rabbis of Jesus' time to state a text and then comment upon it. In good rabbinical tradition, rather than providing something that is opposite to the statement, Jesus is intensifying the statement. He isn't saying anything new. He is reminding his hearers what the 10 words say. According to Matthew, Jesus tells us, quote, if you are angry with a brother or a sister, you will be liable to judgment. And if you insult a brother or sister, you will be liable to the council. As I said before, you'll be hauled off to court. In verse 22, Jesus goes on to say, quote, if you say you fool, you will be liable to the hell of fire. Now, you might remember I did give a sermon on this in February, and I mentioned that the word that was used for hell was Gehenna. And Gehenna was the garbage dump outside of Jerusalem. It burned 24 hours a day. Only worthless things wound up there. Eugenia Gamble in our Presbyterian Women's book says, quote, Jesus is saying that when we speak words that shatter a life and leave a person shamed and damaged, we ourselves become useless and fit only for the garbage dump. Sister Joan Chittister, a Benedictine nun, has also given much thought to the Ten Commandments, and she's written about them in a book called The Ten Commandments, Laws of the Heart. Sister Joan tells us that this word of life reminds us of, quote, how thin a line we tread between power and force. She wants us to be careful about how we use the power that we have. She goes on to challenge us by saying, quote, maybe it's time to realize that when we are not actually working to sustain life, all life anywhere, we are actually undermining life everywhere. John Calvin saw this command as a call to actively seek good for our neighbors. Again, Eugenia Gamble tells us that in our Presbyterian Women's Curriculum. We are to see other people's lives as valuable as our own. We're supposed to resist those structures, patterns, and processes that systematically diminish the life of individuals. This is a call to social justice, and I'm not saying that. John Calvin said that. We are called to not let people go hungry, not let workers be exploited. We are called to challenge all isms, to not look away. We're supposed to do something. Now, suppose instead of thou shalt not murder, you were told that this commandment was the law of life, Sister Joan asks. She tells us that this commandment is, quote, about allowing life to return in us after loss and disappointment or natural endings and social failures, close quote. We ignore this commandment if we eat and smoke and drink to excess, she goes on to say, doing those things that are slowly killing us. We honor this commandment when we wear our masks, thinking of the health of others. We honor this commandment when we work to feed people in our food pantry. We're not letting them go hungry even during this very difficult time. We honor this command when we remember to be kind, when we think before we speak. Sister Joan tells us further that the Talmud says, all of us are responsible for one another. In Sister Joan's view, and again I'm quoting, the greatest sin against the fifth commandment may be indifference to what is going on that is sapping the life out of the world around us. Unless we think that this is just a Christian idea, in her chapter on this commandment, Sister Joan tells of attending the Third Parliament of the World's Religions in Cape Town, South Africa, in 1999. One of the objectives of this parliament of over 400 religious leaders from every denomination was to stress the common ground among and between the religions. She was there when they accepted the global ethic, and those are capital letters, the global ethic. And she came away with the clear sense that not only you shall not kill, but even more, life is to be enabled. She suggests that we reword this commandment from you shall not murder, and instead you shall enable life before it's too late for the entire globe. Life is the only thing of value we really have, and we kill it in so many ways for so many bad reasons. So, as I did in February, I'd like to leave you with the words of the Irish poet Oscar Wilde, who wrote in the Ballad of Reading Jail, all men kill the thing they love, by all let this be heard. Some do it with a bitter look, some with a flattering word. The coward does it with a kiss, the brave man with a sword. May we remember these things. Amen.